It is tough. I was thinking of that. On Saturday. Just I wasn't even sure where you actually are in the place, and not seeing you. It's obviously a very, very weird time that we're all going through. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, they don't really let us go between floors. I know you're up on the third floor. We're on the second. And they're not really enamored with us changing floors, which I understand.
Oh, so. They're really not enamored with that. Yeah,
no,
that's true.
No. So, yeah, we'll do what we have to do. And then, you know what? Maybe if things can loosen up by the blue-white game, we can all get together and have a big dinner. So we'll do that.
There you go. You know? I'm going to hold you to that. Yeah.
Good. I look forward to it. Mike, yeah. I opened up the show today by saying, look, I don't really know what I'm watching. 9.5 times out of 10, I know what I'm watching or why something or why not something. And right now, I'm not sure. Maybe you're more sure than I am.
I think I'm equally sure as you are, which is not sure at all. Yeah, I was really surprised by a lot of things on Saturday. You know, you could argue that they were in a tough place mentally because of the way the first two games went. But if that's your argument, then they're in a tougher spot this weekend going to Nebraska, I think. I think the big thing was the offensive line. I was talking to my buddy Frank Bodani, who sits home right next to me in the press box, and not right next to me because we're socially distanced, of course. But Frank was saying, you know, I think the one thing we have to see today, this is pregame. One thing we have to see is the offensive line kind of making a statement here against this opponent after what's happened the first couple weeks. Win the line of scrimmage and hand the ball to the running back and run the ball and move the chains and et cetera. And that emphatically did not happen. And I think that was the most surprising piece of it, really.
Because when you look at what an RPO is, the first letter is R for run.
Right.
How much do you think Penn State's offense has been affected by the fact that, I'm not talking about the quarterback part, but the running back part, they have not been able to generate a consistent running game?
I think that's a big piece of it. And it's interesting to me, though, that 2 weeks in a row, they've thrown the ball more effectively in the second half than in the first. I think part of that is Sean Clifford, because I think we've seen a tendency on his part to be, whether it's because he's a little too amped up or whatever, to be inaccurate early and then settle in. But I thought if you think about that stretch in Ohio State where they actually scored, I think, four times in five possessions or something like that, and the wide receiver play was good and working the middle of the field, it was pretty effective. And, you know, here's an amazing thing. They have outgained their opponents through 3 weeks. They have more time of possession. They have like 20 more first downs. Now, there's no question that, particularly last week, that those numbers are deceptive. But it still is another one of those things that just makes you want to shake your head. And I don't know what's going on. The one thing that I really would come back to is the O-line.
Yeah. Well, the other part, too, is I've always been a big believer. I've done this a long time. I know that you know what the psychology is of playing from behind versus playing from in front.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean
it's
going to work every single time, but it works far more. Let me put it this way. Because I keep such stats all the time in football and basketball, I think fans will be shocked by the number of times you're winning at halftime and win the game. I mean, the winning percentage is off the charts. I mean, people would have no, and I keep it all the time. That's why I know. Yeah. Penn State's only been ahead about 10 minutes so far this season.
I know you're right about that. And that's true pretty much in all sports.
Yes.
It really is. Again, that makes those statistics that I was mentioned about total yardage and stuff like that. It makes them very, very deceptive, but it still is noteworthy if you're trying to find a reason to believe going forward. But again, they've got to be able to run the ball. They've got to be able to run the ball for Kirk Shiraka's magic, whatever it is, to kick in, and just to be on schedule and in terms of down and distance and all that. And certainly a thing that we thought this team would be able to do, and they really have not to this point.
In a 3 to 3.5 hour game, there are times where the offense will need the defense to bail it out.
Yep.
There'll be times where the defense needs the offense to bail them out. Each one hits a low. It's been troubling, I'm sure, for James Franklin that right now neither one is bailing the other one out.
Yeah, that complementary football thing that people, that coaches talk about all the time, it's a real thing. And I think particularly defenses, I think, have to have a sense of the moment and a sense of what's game, score, clock, all that stuff. And that's been missing through three games. And that was probably the second most surprising thing about Saturday, in particular Saturday, more than the other 2 weeks, was how poorly the secondary played. Inability to be, they don't seem organized. They seem a little disorganized. I think the talent is there in that back end of their defense. I think the linebacker level has been okay. Maybe somebody who knows more about technical football would debate me on that. But I was surprised at the pass defense, particularly on Saturday against the Terps.
Well, when it comes to linebacking play, I know who to ask. So,
you do.
I do know when it comes to that. I do know who to ask.
What's he saying?
Well, I haven't asked him yet, I'm still waiting. Seriously, the two of us will talk about it later in the week. I just haven't had a chance to ask him about it. The game's over, there's that general shock of what we saw and didn't see that got to us. During the course of the deal. Giveaway takeaway, which is critical to anyone's success in football. It's critical.
Yep.
Penn State has now gone 9 quarters without a takeaway, and now they're -5 in giveaway takeaway. And that is one, this is just as a general statement on a question, but they dramatically need that to turn around. They need to be the team that's +5 and getting takeaways.
Right, no question. And most of it has been 5 interceptions by Sean Clifford. That's the big piece of that number. And a lot of times that washes out over time. I don't know if I'm ready to say that there is a flaw in Penn State's team that makes them have a negative turnover differential. I don't know if that's true. Certainly, part of it has been some bad decisions by Sean Clifford. I don't want to dump all over him. That's the easiest thing in the world to do when a football team is struggling. I don't want to go there. And it'll be interesting to see what James has to say about that tomorrow. Interesting to see what James has to say about a lot of things tomorrow. That'll be an interesting presser tomorrow. But I don't know if that's the kind of thing that washes out or if there's something going on here that really is a flaw. I don't know.
I don't know. He'll certainly talk about it tomorrow. There's no question about it.
Now
you have Nebraska. I don't even know how much you've looked at them. Now, I've looked at them. What I found interesting is that with the game and the balance, he did change quarterbacks. He went to Dylan McCaffrey, took Adrian Martinez out. That's why it's my gut feeling. I don't know if he's talked to the media today or not, Scott Frost.
He was supposed to talk today, and I didn't. I was not able to be in on that. I think some of our guys probably were. Uh, I took a little spin around social media before I got on with you, and I didn't really see anything. So maybe we'll find out. I saw Nebraska play Ohio State. I thought they competed pretty decently on the line of scrimmage in that game for a long while. As far as running the ball a little bit and stopping the run a little bit, you know, it's just way, way, way too much Justin Fields, which we've seen the effect of that. I mean, I'm blown away by Justin Fields, by the way. But
you should be. Should be.
I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be a tough game for Penn State, especially if they can't win up front enough to run the ball, enough to hand the ball to the running back and get into that the positive down and distance situations. There's so much of that, and then, as you mentioned earlier, then you can go to the RPO, then you can make that happen. And I think Penn State's receivers have been good enough so far to be a real threat in that aspect of it.
Yeah, and Fields, by the way, I think he's at what 87%. And he's only missed his receiver where he missed him six times in three games.
Where he
missed the receiver.
And it's not like he's making little dump-off throws. I mean, there are some of those, of course. Yeah. There's the wide receiver screen and stuff is part of their offense. But these deep outs to the opposite hash, where he just makes that throw like it's like he just hums it in there. I mean, I know everybody loves Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, and I wouldn't have any problem at all taking Justin Fields.
You know what's interesting is that I feel the same way. A year ago, I was like, yeah, there's no doubt Lawrence. Yeah, some team, you know, and Fields looks good, and all that. But he's better now than he was a year ago. That's what strikes me, Mike. He is just a better player now.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a tendency to hold on to it too long. It's just experience stuff. That's all it was. Now he looks supremely confident. He's getting rid of it quickly. He rifles it in there. Incredibly accurate. And he's got the mobility and the athleticism and good decision-making to take off and make a play with his legs when he has to. I'm kind of blown away by Justin Fields, I got to tell you.
Mike, what are your thoughts about this week? I mean, we've gone through, we don't really know what's going on. So does that make this week an incredible mystery game?
It does make this week an incredible mystery game. I'm not a gambler, but I look at the line as information. And Penn State, I think, opened as a 4-point favorite here. It went down a little bit pretty quickly. And so I think people see this, and I see it as a winnable game. And I don't see any of these games remaining as not winnable for Penn State.
I'm so with you on that. Every game is a winnable game. That's what makes this so confusing to me.
It's hard not to. It may not be the most insightful thing for the listeners for us to belabor the fact that we're not sure what we're seeing, but that's reality. Right. That's what I'm just telling you what we see, and that's I'm not sure what to make of it. And I think it's going to get better. I think there's enough to hold on to. I mean, here's an incredible thing to think about. 18 days ago, this was the number 8 team in the country, according to the AP poll, 18 days ago. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I thought the defense was going to be good enough to carry the day early. Yeah. I thought this was the best offensive line I'd seen here since 2008. And that's from watching, being at every practice, watching every practice for years and years and years. That's how I make these observations. I don't just pick them out of the blue. Okay,
right.
I'm there. I'm standing there. I can look at and at least get a grasp on personnel and what I'm seeing. And I am completely bewildered. I don't know what. I can't put my hand on anything right now. So
so much for your
humble play-by-play guy here. Yeah, let's turn to Steve. What does Steve think? He doesn't know what's going on. Okay. That's terrific.
Well, Don't sell yourself short there, big guy.
Well, nope. I'm trying to be honest with the audience to kind of let them know what
I think. Yeah, that's right. What can we do?
There's nothing I can do.
At the end of the day, it's not a math problem. It's sports. They have to go out and play. And we don't do it. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
No. My friend, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Steve.